Blog Talk Radio.
No.
God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle Flowers. Welcome to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Apostle Flowers. You're listening to Restorer of Paths to Dwell In broadcast. We're on every first and third Mondays of the month. And yes, it's the third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. Every first and third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. This is the third Monday of the month. We thank God for the founder of Kingdom Builders International, Prophetess Teresa. We thank God for Evangelist Hannah as well, who works with her behind the scenes as well to make things possible and happen for you to listen to hear us at Kingdom Builders International. But you're listening to Restore Pastor Dwelling broadcast. We thank God for you, landline listeners, cell phone listeners, those that are streaming, live listening to this broadcast by the way of internet. We thank God for you for tuning in and listening wherever my voice is heard, even on the other side of the country, the other side of the globe where you're listening to this broadcast. I want you to know that we appreciate you and we thank God for you. Thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. We thank God our ministry is called Repair the Breach International Ministry. We're located here in the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois. That's where you're hearing this broadcast being tuned in from live, where you're tuning in this broadcast live from the Windy City. That's right, Chicago, Illinois, you're hearing this broadcast. Yes, you are in a treat on tonight. I want you to be encouraged on tonight. And as always, God wants you to be in high expectation, be expecting to hear and to receive word from the Lord, be expecting and to receive a supernatural miracle, a supernatural move of God. Sometimes, a lot of times, we feel like, well, we need to be in the presence or at a service where the man or the woman of God is ministering yet. We're right there to actually, you know, to get our miracle. But what I'm saying is that's true. That's true. Yes. But what about when you're not at church, when you're not at a revival, or when you're not going to a special meeting, a special service to hear a guest speaker, someone from out of town or a local or whoever, and you are at home, but yet, you know, you need a miracle from God, but yet you need to hear from God, but yet you need a supernatural move of God to take place and to happen in your life, but you're not, there's no church service going on tonight, there's no special services, you know, there's no revival, anything like that going on, but you need God to move in your life because things are havoc and haywire in the household or on the job or just personally. You're going through some stuff and you're under attack by the enemy. And or you may be going through something physically in your body. You may be afflicted in your body with some kind of sickness or illness, or they may have placed some kind of disease upon you. You have some people that may experience some afflictions in their bodies, and they will turn around and say, this is God's will for my life, you know, for me to be sick, for me to go through this. Let me tell you this, beloved, the devil is a lie. That's the enemy lying to you, because sickness is not of the Lord. Sickness do not come from God. That comes from the wicked one. That comes from the enemy. Although yet we stand in faith and believe God, and even as God heals us and heal our body or deliver us from whatever the affliction of the enemy tried to place upon us, is so that, you know, God can get the glory out of our life. It's not God that put the sickness or disease on just the enemy that does that thing to you. And so basically it's just believing God. But what are you saying, Apostle? What I'm saying is whatever it is that you may be going through, whatever it is that you may be going through physically in your physical body, this is the time on tonight. You may not, like I said, you may not be present in front of the man of God or the woman of God in a revival or a special event or a meeting, but just listening to this broadcast, just listening to the sound of my voice, you can press in, you can begin to put a demand, you can begin to believe God for your miracle, whatever it is that you believe in God for, physically, financially, spiritually, in the realm of your soul, soulish realm, because sometimes we experience wounds and go through emotionally, get hit with daggers and get stabbed in the back, all kind of things begin to, you know, take place and happen. The enemy throwing, you know, javelins at you like Saul did with David and everything, because you know, evil spirit was upon him, and he find himself trying to kill David. And you may be under fire with the enemy because the hand of the Lord is upon your life, and because you're called and you're chosen of the Lord, and the enemy has an assignment against you because of the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. And the enemy don't like that because you're in hot pursuit of God, and yet the enemy's trying to raise up his javelin and throw it right at you to try to take you out, or the enemy's trying to do something to discourage you or bring despondency in your life so that you can miss and even perhaps get so discouraged and abort the plan and the purposes of God for your life. Let me tell you this. It's bigger than you. What you experience and what you're going through, I always like love to tell the people of God that it's bigger than you. I know sometimes we can get into a pity party or a woe is me syndrome or something like that when we're going through some things in our life, and when we're experiencing hardships and tests and trials, we seem to, you know, all that our focus seems to be on that which we're going through and not looking at the bigger picture, knowing that God is working and moving in the midst of all that smoke screen, because that's what it is, a big smoke screen the enemy is bringing right before your eyes. And God wants you to begin to see in the realm of the spirit, begin to look beyond the natural, this natural realm, because the natural realm is very deceiving. And this is the way the world operates, through the five senses, through touch and smell. Only what I can see, only what I can touch, I will believe. You know, that type of realm. But when it comes to the things of God, the spiritual realm of God, the kingdom of God, we don't operate by our natural senses. We operate by what we cannot see. And then we operate by the opposite, where we receive a negative report, but we believe a good report is going to take place. Regardless of the negative report we just heard, we may have received some not-so-good news from a doctor. But yet, by you being a believer in Jesus Christ, of the kingdom of God, and out of this this kingdom of this world, of this world system, and yet you believe God regardless of what the naysayers may say, regardless of the negative report that was released unto you that you have heard or different things like that, you operate out of the kingdom of God. You believe what God, so you believe the report of the Lord Isaiah. So whose report shall you or shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. So let me tell you, do you believe the report of the Lord? Are you going to believe the enemy's report, or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Are you going to be like the children of Israel when they sent out the 10 spies, and 8 of them came back with a negative report, and only 2 came back with a positive report, where you're against the odds? Which one are you going to be? Come out with a negative report or with a good report, of regardless of what it looked like and how it may seem, regardless of how the winds may blow and the storms may rage in your life? Even I give it to Peter. I know a lot of times we say negative stuff about Peter, is preached negatively at times about Peter, when they saw Jesus walking upon the water, and Peter asked the Lord to bid me to come, if it be you, bid me to come upon the water, and Peter stepped out upon the waters, and when the waves started rising and shaking, and Peter got fearful, and he began to shake and was afraid. That's why he went under, and you can't be like Peter and look at your circumstances and go under. See, this is the message that we hear preached, but we don't see the positive side of that, the flip side of it. At least Peter had enough sense than all the other disciples to step out of the boat onto the water, step out and out into that, even though the storms and different things were brewing and raising and rising around him, and the waves, you know, splashing and rising up high, you know, going back and forth and stuff like that. He had enough faith to step out in the midst of all that chaos, all that stuff that was going on, yet to still believe God. He had enough sense to do that. And how many times, or how many people listening to me now, God has called you to come forth. You have prayed. You have asked God for a specific thing, and God told you to move forward in it. And you're about to step forward in it, but because of what you have seen and sown and that have taken place, it didn't look too good, and it looked like it was, you know, just a little bit too much, overwhelming, and then that which you can handle, it began to cause you, as you would say, to sink. Like Peter did. But I want to say that at least it took you enough faith to step out to do it. But think about those that don't do it. They say the Lord called them to do something. The Lord would have them to step out of something, but they wouldn't never do it because they're looking at the waves. They're looking at how high the waters are rising, going up, and the winds blowing back and forth and everything. So they're fearful and scared to step out and to trust and to believe God, and especially when the Lord has spoken to them and the Lord has shown it unto them. But because of looking around them, because looking at the natural circumstances, because of listening to what people are saying, the naysayers, and saying negative things, and no, I don't think so, you don't have the resources, you don't have the education, you're too young, you're too old, you're overweight, or you're too skinny, or you're not anointed enough, or you just dumb, you don't know what you're doing. I don't think that's a good idea. Well, people trying to put their opinion, what they think, on you and saying what they ought to do, would do in that situation or something like that, but it's dictating what God has told you to do. It's saying something opposite. It's saying something different. When the Lord told you to move forward like he had told David, when David was in the battle in Ziklag, and their wives and their children were taken away, and their goods and the place where they was camping out was set on fire, and David was out fighting with the men of war. They was out fighting with David. They came back into the camp and came to see that the children and their wives were gone, and the place on fire, and so they got upset, and they turned around and wanted to kill Stone David. Now, these are men that was fighting with David. They all fighting together. And now all of a sudden, because, you know, there something happened in their own household person, all of a sudden they wanted to turn against the man of God. They wanted to kill him. Amen. But David, amen, went and inquired of the Lord. He went and got the priest and asked the priest to bring him the ephod, and he began to go up and begin to pursue and seek the Lord himself. He began to encourage himself in the Lord. A lot of times we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Not all the time we can't take everybody with us. Everybody can't go where we're going in God, when God has taken us somewhere. And when God has taken you somewhere and you're in the midst of transition, a lot of times you experience warfare. You come up against opposition. And when you're doing something for the kingdom of God, and when you're building, you're going to stand and be met with the opposition of the enemy to come to try to do his assignment, do that what he was sent here to do, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not doing anything but doing that which he only know what he can do, and that's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would move upon the people wherever my voice is heard. God, I pray, Father, that you would deliver your people from discouragement and disappointment in their life, God. Father, I pray right now, Lord, let there be an open heavens. Lord, I pray, God, that the angel of the Lord begin to move in the midst of your people, your warring angels, Lord, war on behalf of the people of God. Your ministering angels begin to minister to the people of God who are the heirs of salvation. And, Father, we thank you for salvation even on tonight. Those that may be listening to this broadcast for the first time, they may not even know you. Lord, that they would, at the end of this broadcast, that they will come to know you and confess you as their Lord and as their Savior. And even those that are in backslidden states, Lord, would return back unto you, because you're married to the backslider and you love the backsliders. Lord, when Israel did rebelled against you and went a-whoring after other gods, as your word said, and after all the things you've done for Israel, and Israel is like a marriage covenant relationship, you likened it unto a marriage. And because they did what they did, you had divorced them. You put them away. You didn't want to have any more to do with them. Then you had a change of heart. You said you're married to the backslider, that you will accept Israel back unto yourself. And that's what you're saying unto those that may have walked with you once, but they turned away, but they feel like they cannot come back. They feel like it's over with, and you won't accept them back. And they did so much, they sinned, did so much dirt and so much sin in their life that you will not forgive them. That's a lie of the enemy that will speak to your hearing to tell you that God will not forgive you and accept you back. That's a trick of the enemy to keep you out of the fellowship of God, so that you can be condemned to hell, condemned to a fiery pit, to be lost for eternally, to be eternally separated from God. And don't allow the enemy to do that to you. Come back, son. Come back, daughter. Give your life back to the Lord. Rededicate your life back to the Lord. Again, he's married to the backslider. His blood covers the multitude of your sins and faults and mistakes. There's no sin too great that God will not forgive, that his son, Jesus Christ's blood, did not pay for a purchase. It's his blood purchased. And that the price for your soul and for your sins, he paid the price for it. So don't let that stop you from coming back to the Lord. Father, I pray for those, Lord, that need a miracle, a financial miracle, a supernatural miracle, a miracle in their physical body, Lord, in the name, a miracle concerning their circumstances. And Lord, they're sending the gap for somebody else, believing you for a son or believing you for a daughter, a court situation, God. Do the impossible, Lord. It seems like they're facing impossible odds. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you begin to turn it up right now for your glory, to get the glory, God. Begin to heal sick bodies. Begin to deliver right now those that are bound by demonic forces, strongholds in their life. I command it to come down and to loose them right now in the name of Jesus. For who the Son set free is free indeed. You're free, Son. You're free. Daughter, I command you, you are loose from that bondage right now that has been holding you captive. You are loose from that addiction that has held you in bondage. It's broken right now. In the name of Jesus, that chain of bondage is broken right now. In the realm of the Spirit, I hear right now the chains are falling right now over your life. You're free. Move in the liberty of the Lord and move forward and be faithful in the things of God. Amen. Run to the house of the Lord. Get around those that are seasoned in the things of God. Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you will word my lips, speak through me, God, as I minister your word in the name of you. Let revelation, knowledge flow. God, I can do nothing without you. Have your way, Holy Spirit, even on tonight. And those that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit that is not filled, let them be filled with the evidence of speaking with heavenly language in the name of Jesus. New tongues, Lord. It was in Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that need an infilling, a refreshing, Lord, a refilling, Lord, and Lord, do it for them on tonight in the name of Jesus. Let supernatural strength come upon your people, Lord, to be able to go even further, to move on, to press their way, God, through the midst of the opposition of the enemy in the name of Jesus, even through this time of warfare. Lord, let them war even concerning the prophetic words that have been given them in the name of Jesus. They war concerning that which you promised. They fight in the name of Jesus, Lord, even if the children of Israel had to fight. Lord, you did not allow Joshua and them to enter into the promised land that easy. You could have just easily moved their enemies out of their way. You said that you would told Joshua that he would drive the enemy out little by little. He would drive them out. And there's some things that we have to do on our part in order to enter into our promised land, enter into what God has promised us. We have to fight. We have to war and drive the enemy out. Sometimes it may take little by little. But if you don't know, I've been waiting for so many years. God promised me this, but I've been waiting, and so you're going to have to fight. It's going to take your perseverance. It's going to take you believing God. It's going to take you trusting, because this is the time where God is redeeming the time, and God's speeding even up of the process, especially concerning the times that we are in, because time is winding up. Again, I don't even need to tell you to just look at the media. You know, I really don't watch the news too much or different things like that, because it is a lot of negativity, but sometimes it's good to watch every now and then to see, to keep up with current events, what's going on, but because that'll tell you the times that we're in, what's going on over in Israel, the warfare and everything that is going on in Israel, when it comes to people of God, to continue to pray. And the word of God said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Pray for the protection of Israel, that God will continue to protect Israel against his enemies. Continue to pray for the salvation of our Jewish our brothers and sisters. Pray for them that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Messiah. You have many of the Jews have converted and given their life to Jesus Christ and accepted him as their Messiah, their Lord, and as their Savior, but yet you still have yet many more that have not believed that Jesus has yet come. They're still yet waiting for the Messiah. But continue to pray that their eyes will be open. Continue to pray that that God will send a witness to them. So continue to pray that they will have a supernatural encounter with the Lord himself that will then cause them to believe. So continue to do so. Continue to hold them up in prayer. Continue to pray for this nation, because judgment first began in the house of the Lord. Judgment is coming to shake up of this nation, to shake up the church. That's why we got to pray. We got to continue to come together. But let me get into the Word of God on tonight with the time that I do. I have. I want to continue to give right back, you know, get right into the Word, and I want just minister to you on tonight, you know, about, you know, the building of the Lord's temple, building God's building. And a lot of times when you look at the building of a temple, when you say that, people look at, well, are you talking about a church building, a great edifice or something like that? There's a lot of that going on in the time and the days that we are in. But God is more interested in the building of men. That's the temple I'm talking about. And then I can remember Jesus making a statement, destroy this temple. And he said, in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. So you're going to destroy this temple in 3 days. But he said, I'm going to raise it up. In 3 days, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. So he was referring to himself. They didn't get it, and they didn't understand what he said. But Jesus was speaking prophetically about, you're going to attempt to destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. And so the enemy makes many attempts to try to destroy those that are the temple of God. I'm not talking about the building that is made with hands, but I'm talking about the people of God, the through history. From the Old Testament all the way through history, the body of Christ, the church, the people of God, have been on, you know, under attack from the enemy of the world, whether it's from because we were chosen by God or because of our rebellion or our disobedience, that we would end up coming under attack of the enemy. But God would always raise up a judge, a deliverer. I know on some of the broadcasts that you've heard me minister concerning about God has a purpose and a plan for our life, and we're called by God, and how God has predestinated your life before the foundation of the world was, before he built this world and established this world, that we are today. God had already mapped out, laid out, and predestined your life. You know, God is the master builder. Remember, he did the blueprints when he created the heaven and the earth. All things were going to be laid out, and he said, let there be light. And you're familiar, go back and you read Genesis, it tells, go back to the origin of creation and everything. And I know they have this thing called evolution. They teach evolution in school. I remember going up in school and trying to teach me that we, the Big Bang Theory and how we evolved from an exploding star, and it fell upon the earth, and so on, and all this stuff, and that's how man was formed, and all this nonsense, and all the way to we were cave, you know, ape gorillas, and we evolved from gorillas to cavemen and stuff like that. I don't know where they get that stuff from, but my Bible said in Genesis that we were made in the image and in the likeness of God. What God created, and he said that it was good. He saw and he said that it was good. And so when God created you, he didn't create no junk. He didn't create no mess. Regardless of what people may try to say to you, you may experience being talked about growing up, being ridiculed, laughed at, made funny, called fat, called skinny, called ugly, called cross-eyed, called many, many names, than a child of God. Things that to tear you down, things that upset you, hurtful words, even from family members and so on, to tear you down. But when you come into the kingdom of God, the system of God, the kingdom of God, the way God operates, God began to build up with the enemy and try to tear you down and try to tell you that you're nothing, that you were nobody, you would be nothing, you'll never amount to anything, or you may have got, I guess, been in a place, you know, growing up where you may have came from a well-to-do background or family where, you know, you were put on a pedestal and you walked around, you know, in pride because of, you know, education, went to the best schools and lived in the best places and traveled the world and so on. You feel like you didn't have no need of nothing. A lot of times God had to tear that down when it comes to the things that God had to do the opposite and tear and deal with the pride in our life and deal with those high places in our life in order to build and to build his foundation that he wants to build in us. And so that's what Jesus came to do. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law and to fulfill it, because the religious people, church folks, thought that Jesus come with some weird, strange doctrine. Who is this guy come professing that he's the Son of God? Well, what is this? He speak blasphemy. And there's to say, it's no different today when you come, you're representing the kingdom of God, and you're coming, you're speaking the truth of God's word, and you're speaking and coming up against religion and tradition, which is making the word of God of none effect, which is killing the people of God. People are spiritually dying in a lot of these churches because they want to uphold and keep the traditions of men. Well, this is the way my father did it, and their father did it, and their father's fathers did it in this church, and this is the way we're going to do it. We've did this for generations in this church, and we're not going to change. We're not going to change anything. This is the way it is. If you don't like it, you can go. You can get out of here. And that's why every week you're having funerals in your church. People die. You know, stuff happening and all that, because you want to uphold the traditions of your fathers in the church, when God wants to bring deliverance in the house. God wants to set the captives free. God's spirit wants to move. But yet we want to hold, you know, to our programs. Well, this is the way we've been doing our programs. We got to sing 20 songs and do the announcements and this and that. And that's the way we've been doing it for all these years. This is the way our denomination do it, or our organization do it. This is how we do it, and that's why God is not moving in your church, and that's why God cannot do what he wants to do, because of our programs, because of the traditions of men that is blocking the move of God, that is hindering the Spirit of God from moving the way he wants to move. Put it like it's quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit of God, because we won't let God have his way in his church. We actually shutting God out. That's why Jesus in Revelation 3:20, I believe, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He was talking to the church. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open up and let me in, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And this is what the Lord wants to do with his church. These are his church. And a lot of times you hear people say, well, I founded this church. I'm the founder of such and such and such church. I founded this church, such and such and such. We didn't find anything. Jesus is the founder of the church. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the chief apostle. He's the chief prophet. He's the chief overall. All things were committed to his hand, and how dare we say that we are the founders. Certain things that we're the founder of this church, and I founded this church, and you know, we gonna have our anniversary of when this church was founded and so on and everything and stuff like that. But yet people are coming into the house of God bound up, hurting, going through in their marriage, going through in their family, going through physically in their bodies, going through, but yet we still want to uphold the tradition of men, of our fathers, or the way they did things. Don't have nothing to do with God. Don't have nothing to do with spiritual things of God. And it's not benefiting the people of God that needs the help, that needs the deliverance. A lot of times it be that way because you have those that are in leadership positions and that are pastors don't even believe themselves. And so that's why they won't allow the Spirit of God to move in their church. They move by head knowledge. They move by analytically, you know, intellectually. You know, they're not sorry to move, but they move by their education, what they were taught, instead of letting the Spirit of God lead them and guide them into all truth and move. And you have some that won't even stop in the middle of their message to minister to a person that may be on the verge of committing suicide. And we feel like, oh, you know, I got to get my word all the way through this message. I got to preach this whole message before I can minister to anybody. You know, well, we want to stick with the program. God want to bring us out of our program so we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be able to minister at a whim and God to move. We can be able to move and be able to minister to the people of God, because while we're not bound by a program, or we can, if God says, I don't want no program, just worship me. We can be so sensitive like that to the presence of God that we begin to worship the Lord And I'd be like, well, I got to preach this word. God didn't give me this word for nothing. It's subject to change. When you're dealing with the kingdom of God and when you're being led of the Father, our Father, which are in heaven, you don't have no agenda. Your agenda is his agenda. You got to move by his agenda, not your agenda. When he say, hey, I don't want you to do this, then you have to obey. Jesus is moving the church into how he walked with the Lord, that he didn't do anything except what he saw as he said, what I see the Father do. And that's what God wants to bring the church. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ wants to usher the church into, that we do nothing except what we see him do. And so we see what our Father do, being led of the Holy Spirit, which leads and guides us into all truth. Amen? Amen. Well, bless God. And so here in 2 Samuel, we have David here, 2 Samuel 7:27 says this, for thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, I will build thee an house. See, David wanted to build a natural house for the Lord. He wanted to build the Lord a, like as you heard me say, you have people that does that good. You know, we have some people, you know, building churches, building buildings and so on. For the Lord, for the ministry and different things. But okay, after the building of the building, the temple, the church, whatever that you're building, the most important thing, are you building men? Are you building women? Are you building the people of God? What are you doing to invest into the people of God? Are you building them up? God wants the people of God to be built up. And I want to encourage those of you, saints of God, to begin to, when you're building some, again, you're going to come up against opposition. Then he's going to attack your prayer life. He's going to attack your word life when you're in the process of building because, hey, you're building your prayer life. You're building your word life. You're made up in your mind. You're going to fast. You're going to build yourself and pray according to Jude and your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, building yourself up in the Spirit. But, notice you're not being met with opposition to try to stop that, try to discourage you from building yourself up in the things of God. And that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to be built up in him and be built up in the Spirit. And what it means to build, let me give you the definition of to build, it means to construct, to form, to establish. Let me read the definition again. This is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Definition of build. It means to construct, to form, to establish. You want to construct some things. You're constructing some things. You're forming some things, and you want some things to be established. When you're in the process, you want to establish something. You want something to build. You like it a certain kind of way. And so that's the way it is that our life is so tailor-made by God. It goes back to the very hairs of our head. It's from the way God created us, the way God is all the way down to the detail how God created us. He's so detailed when it comes to us. God is so detailed when it comes to things, his creation, and the things that he has created. When you look at even all the way down to the flight, notice even not, if you look at the snow that comes down, if you're in a place where it snows, or you deal with all four seasons, especially a place where it snows, notice when you look at the snowflakes that come down, notice there's not one, two snowflakes alike. They all are different. Each snowflake, it's not the same snowflake coming down. When you look, catch some of those snowflakes in your hand and look at them, they're all made differently. That shows you the creativity of our God. And when God does something, so what are you saying, man of God? I'm saying when God made you and God created you, he created you exceptional. He tailor-made you. The word of God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, when he created, made you, with a purpose and for a purpose. You're unique in yourself, and it goes back to the building process when God is doing the work, and you're building something. And Psalms 127:1 says, "This is the Lord, build the house. They labor in vain that build it." So you don't want to do nothing that's in vain. You don't want your labor to be in vain. You don't want to go about doing your own thing. I know we have goals and we have dreams, except if it's not according to the will of God. of what we're doing. If it don't line up with the word of God or the will of God for our life, then that thing we can be doing, we can be wasting time, and we can be building, and we can be laboring in vain. We can be in a place that God did not ordain for us to be. And it can be in vain. Our labor can be in vain because God said, I didn't call you to be here in this place. God can be calling you out of a place. And because you have outgrown a specific place, with God, whether it's in the workplace, whether it may be at a church, whether it may be, concerning what it is. God may have called you saying, I didn't think this is not what I'm having you to do right now in the season of your life. I'm calling you away from this, but you may have in your mind, I'm going to stay here anyway because I feel comfortable. I know this. I know this from the back of my hand, inside and out. So I'm not going to move forward. I'm not going to step out. I'm too afraid to step out like the other disciples were afraid to step out. But Peter took the bold step to step out. So are you going to be, again, like the other disciples in the boat, scared to step out, scared to try something new, scared to step out, even though you may not see how it's going to work out or how things are going to come to play, but yet you trust God because your eyes are fixed on the Lord and knowing that God got your back and God got this and God is building you. God is perfecting you in this hour and in these end times. And when you're going through things, God is not allowing these things to bring harm to you or to destroy you. Yes, that's the purpose and the plan of the enemy to destroy you, but what God is doing it to build you. Notice, the word has this saying, hurt you, make you stronger. Break you, make you stronger. That thing doesn't heal you, it just makes you stronger. And so it's like that when it comes to the things of God. All it does is just cause you to mature. Basically, when you go through tests and trials, experience some things, and go through a season of transition in your life, it's really building you, it's really maturing you, bringing maturity in your life. God cannot pour new wine in old wineskins. And so that's why God has to remove that old wineskin. Because that old wineskin is being removed because you're going through the process. And he's putting on new wineskin so he can pour in new wine. That's why he's pouring the new ideas and the new into you. So, but if you're walking around with an old mindset, you're not going to receive the new. All you're going to do is end up being confused. All you're going to end up doing is just casting off to the side. It's just going to be something wasted. You know how they say, the Bible says, don't cast not your... cast not the pearls to the swine because all they're going to do is trample over it. And so it's like the same thing. If we're walking around with the old wineskins on and God's trying to do something new in our life, we're not going to receive it. We're not going to be able to handle it because we want to keep the old ways. We want to do what we're comfortable with. It is said that we're creatures of habit. We're used to doing things in a form of habit of doing things, and we like a thing a certain way. And we don't like change, so it's hard when it comes to change because we're creatures of habit. Some people don't like to just uproot and go and move to a new place because they think about, I got to start all over again. I have to do this, make new friends, this, such, 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 such. I was comfortable, where I was at, where I was living. I was established and everything. So now I got to this job is saying that I have to require me to relocate and to move and stuff, and sometimes we get fearful, we get afraid and don't want to move, don't want change when change can be for the better. And think how many times, a lot of times if you didn't move with what God was doing or move with that change, how you would have not experienced meeting a certain person or meeting that spouse. Amen, or getting that job position if you didn't get up. And God heard testimony, a man of God that I knew. God told him to get up and go to down south. And he went down there with not just enough money just to get down there, and he was going down that way for a job. But he went down there and really didn't have the money, went and stayed with the person. God opened up a door for him to stay with somebody down there until he got on his feet. But with nothing coming, so he couldn't get no job or nothing, but he's like, wait, he's starting to get discouraged, but he's like, but wait, God, you said I had a job, this is where I'm supposed to be. And this guy, he was single and everything, but he said, God, you told me to come in that you had a job for me here, for me to come here. And so was nothing happening. He got so discouraged. He put an application here and there, and he got to the point where he got so the enemy discouraged him so that he said, forget it. I'm out of here. He got up, hopped on the bus to go back to his hometown, and right soon that day when he left, the person that he was saying would receive a phone call where the job was calling looking for him. The same day that he left, they called him, and then they hired him. And so right when he got back to his home, he got a phone call saying, you have to turn back around and come back because the job called, and they said, get you hired. He's like, what? And, you know, I don't know. I done came all the way back home now. You know, forget it. Like, no, you got to come back. You got to come back. So he spent his life. He had to borrow to pay a lot of money for a bus ticket to get home. And so then he had to gather up some kind of, you know, money to go back. And he did. And if he didn't do that, then he would have missed out even on his wife. That's why he ended up meeting his wife. God bless him to meet his spouse through the midst that in him going back and what God has promised. I know sometimes you can be right at the door and be so discouraged to the point that you almost just about to say, forget it. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, forget it. You're right at the door. God is doing something in your life because the Lord is building you. He's building your faith. He's building up your walk in him. That's what happens when you're in pursuit of him. And you're coming after him, even through the midst of circumstance situations, even through the midst of where the enemy may have tried to discourage you, whether it's in a relationship, in marriage, where you may have been separated from your spouse or going through a divorce or may have been through a recent divorce or anything like that. God can work it out for your good. God can restore that relationship for him. God is doing something in your life concerning where he wants to take you ministry-wise. You have to pay a price. You have to drink from the cup. You have to do some favor. When you say, Lord, I'll walk with you, when you say yes to him, did you think it was going to be easy? Did you think that you were not going to suffer and go through anything? Did you think that Jesus went all through the things that he went through and that we didn't have to go through anything? Yes, he did pay it off for us, the ultimate sacrifice for us, but yet he said that no servant is above his master. That if they persecuted the prophet and they hate him and doing all these things to him, you know, they're going to do the same to us. They're going to do the same to us because we are followers of Jesus Christ. And even in these last days, we have not yet seen the persecution that is about to come. I know you heard me say this like a broken record. The day is coming where we're not going to be able to carry our Bibles. It's already happening in the armed forces where the chaplains cannot carry their Bible. It's already coming to a point where they're going to begin to say, now we can't even say Jesus, mention the name of Jesus. They already tried to do it so. Our laws, putting our laws in place that we can't even pray out in public. You know, they already stopped it in our schools, but they're trying to stop it here so that the saints of God, cannot pray out in public. They're already trying to pass laws that we're going to be considered as extremists, we're going to be looked at as terrorists. We're going to be looked at as a threat because of what we believe and because we're standing for the gospel's sake, because we're standing for Jesus Christ. And the Word of God said in the NIV version, it said, unless the Lord builds a house, his laborers labor in vain. So what you're doing, you don't want it to be in vain. You don't want to do it in vain. You don't want to be going to the house of God in vain. I mean about that when you go into the house of God and you're not participating, if you're not being a part of the vision of that, and you might just say you're there in vain. If you're not doing them to help your pastor, you need to help build the church, the ministry, then it's just in vain. You're just dead work in that house, in that church. And you're being selfish and self-centered. You're not connecting with the vision of the house, and you're not helping your leader build. And then God sent you there for a reason. And there are those of you that God may have sent to a house, but you may have outgrown the church. You have outgrown where you're at, and it's time for you to move on. And God wants you to obey him. There are many of you that are in this season in your life that you are in transition, and God is moving you. You've outgrown where you're at. And I want to encourage you to obey the voice of the Lord, to trust the Lord. I know I've had experienced that in time past in my life, in years, in my beginning stages in ministry, starting out in church and ministry, in the training process, and there was plenty of times, you know, where I've outgrown and where I was at, and God said it was time for me to move on and to go to that place where I can grow and where I can be built up more in the things of Him, in that place that believed like I did, whether it came to the prophetic ministry or deliverance. And you cannot grow in a place if God is calling you to a prophetic ministry and you're in a place that don't believe in the prophetic, that's defeating the purpose. You're just gonna sit there and die. Or if it's whether it's deliverance, God called you to a deliverance ministry and you believe in it, but yet you're in a place that don't even believe in deliverance. So you need to be in a place that's like-minded, that believes like you do, that have a lot to do with your purpose, your destiny, and how God is going to use you and what you're going to operate in. So it's the same thing with Elijah and Elisha, S-H-A. He followed him because, again, that same mantle fell upon him. Amen. So if he didn't, you know, believe in what was the purpose of him following Elijah? Yeah, there was some things where, you know, he tried to, you know, discourage him from following him, but he didn't let it discourage him or stop him because he wanted that mantle. He was running, you know, for the Lord. And that's what happened. Usually, you know, those that you serve under, you receive that mantle, part of that mantle fall upon you as it did. The anointing oil went from the head of Aaron, from his head to his garment, to his beard, to his garment, which is representation of the church. From the head, it flows from the head on down. The anointing, and then impartation, the blessings. It does matter who you sit up under. It does matter who you are connected with in the body of Christ. It does matter. God is readjusting, breaking away soul ties that are not fruitful, soul ties that are not serving any purpose, that are causing dead works. So God wants to repent of dead works. God don't want us carrying dead weight. God don't want us trying to run with people and go with people that are not going where we're going or where He's taking us. And so God has to set a soul tie. God has to set you and put you around divine, put it like we call it, divine connections. Those that are going where you're going. Those that are thinking like you're thinking concerning things of the kingdom. Those that have a heart. The people of God, those that are not selfish, those whose motives are not wrong, but it's all about God's people, all about doing a work for the Lord, not about trying to, let me see how I can build my ministry, not being like, oh, I want to, you know, make a name for myself, I want people to see me, and hey, I'm known, I'm out here, so that's what it's all about. I want people waiting on me, hand and feet, and serving me, and all this stuff. And we're supposed to be, the five folks are supposed to be serving the people of God. We got it backwards. We got it twisted. And I know some people that don't like this, you know, pastors or leave me not like this. God didn't call, you know, our armor bearers or different ones to be, you know, to be like servants to us, you know, go get my laundry, go to the cleaners, go do this, you know, be like our flunky, you know. As you say, sort of speak. Yeah, there's some blessings and some benefits of them serving, but not to the point we're supposed to be imparting to them. We're supposed to be training them. We're supposed to be preparing them. Amen. Yes, they're supposed to take, you know, the hits, help take the hits, yeah, that they come at us. They're supposed to be intercessors and so on. That's what we're supposed to be training them. Amen. Not just all this natural stuff, you know, them being like a butler. Or an aid or something like that. But we're supposed to be training them for warfare. We're supposed to be training them for the purposes of the kingdom of God, to strategize and all these things and to combat against the work of the enemy. Well, people of God, my time is winding up. I wish I had more time. Amen. I'm not going to get a chance to get through the rest of this word. Here, but not only that, but God wants to come together, not just individually, but corporately, collectively, because so much contention in the body of Christ, so much jealousy and envy, there's a lot of, you know, intimidation, you got leaders trying to intimidate other leaders and stuff, trying to be, you know, hard as I like to say, in the pulpit, and I'm reminded of a particular ministry. You know, we had an opportunity to go and visit, and we went to go and support one of our sons in the gospel. And, man, it was just so much drama going on and everything. They did not want worship. They did not want the Spirit of God, but yet they wanted praise and hop around there, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and all that. But when it came time to worship, they didn't know how to worship. They didn't know what it was to go into the secret place of God, and that's what it's all about. Praise is just a prerequisite into entering into the presence of God. All that junk, all that mess that's been on you, all that the stuff, that warfare that stuff you've been through the course of the week, attacks against your mind, when you go into the house of God and praise Him and thank Him, all what is that doing? It's breaking all that off of you. And it's causing your mind to be prepared to be able to enter into the presence of the Lord so that you won't have all that stuff. You won't have that stuff on your mind or what somebody did to you or you're about to lose your house or this happened to you or that happened to you in your mind. Going into the presence of God, because when you go into the presence of God, you don't go into the presence of God with all that stuff on you, weight and all that, and you cannot, your focus won't be on God because you're thinking about other stuff. And so that's why we have praise. That's why Psalm said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Come unto His courts with praise. And that's where a lot of places, churches, denominations stop, is right there in the inner courts. They don't go no further. They just stay stuck. Stay stuck right there. And then when it's time to enter into the holies of holies, as the Father said that He seeketh such, those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, which is what the Father seeketh. And the only way you can get to the Father is in the spirit. And with truth, you can't get to the Father and still in the flesh. Clap. Praise Him. That's not going to get you there. It's worship which causes us to enter in. It's worship that causes us, amen, for the Father to begin to move in our life. When we forget about what we're going through, forget about ourselves, as the songwriter said, concentrate on Him and worship Him. He's, because He's the great I Am. Lord, nothing else matters but You. Regardless of all of this stuff, and that's all this stuff happened in my life, God, it does not compare. It can't even touch you. You're bigger than what's happening in my life, what I'm going through. God, You're awesome. You know what? My circumstances may not look good right now, but Lord, You're worthy. You're worthy of the praise and of the glory. And of the, that's what the Father's seeking. God, I'm hurting right now. I'm going through right now. Yes, I received some disturbing news. God, I'm broken right now. I lost a loved one. God, my marriage just, just in it right now. It is bad. It's not looking good right now. But Lord, I worship You, God. You're great. There's none, nobody, no one like You in the heavens or in the earth. I adore You, and that's who the Father is seeking. When you begin to get lost in God's presence like that, you know, that's how the anointing begin to come upon your life. You know, that's how God begin to move, begin to turn things around for you. That's how, you know, impartation begin to take place in your life. You know, that's when God begin to open up the realm of the Spirit until you begin to have supernatural encounters, visions begin to open up right before your eyes. You begin to see move of God, the weight of God's glory begin to come upon you. And now it seems like all these cares on you was overwhelming you. It's not even there anymore. The stress, the pressure that's lifted is gone. You're experiencing this peace. You're experiencing the joy of the Lord. You're experiencing the love of the Lord, where you experience rejection and betrayal and just negative words said to you. But because you're in His presence, all that's gone. You feel nothing but the presence of the Lord, His peace, and everything is like nothing else matter. God is You. You know what the Word of God says? He haven't lost wife, children, houses, land, all these things for My name's sake. That's what's going on when you're in the presence of the Lord. I don't care about anybody else. God, I don't even care about my life. I don't even care about myself. God is You. God, I long for You. I long for Your presence. That's what worship all about. That's what we come to the house of the Lord to do. It's a worship, but Jesus said we made His house a house of being of thieves, because we do everything else in the house of God is worshiping Him. Amen. Well, sorry, saints, I have to stop it right there. I hope I can pick this back up on Monday of the month. Tune in next month, the first Monday of the month at 8 p.m. to Restore Path to Dwell. And I have been your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. But before I close out, I know that I My time is in it, but I just want to take this opportunity, as you heard me pray earlier, mention earlier, for those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. When God said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart at the day of provocation. Put it like this, don't harden your heart because the Lord is calling you, beckoning you unto salvation. So don't turn away because today could be your last. Today could be your last. One of them, I'm saying it as a fear tactic, but it's true. Tomorrow's not promised to you, not even to us. But there are men of God that are Christians. Tomorrow's not promised to us. And so that's why we have to live each day as if it's our last. So you don't want to cross over into eternity not knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You don't want to die in your sins and be eternally separated from the Lord and being tortured by demons and burning in the hell of fire that's unquenchable and eating, worms eating in your flesh. It's just so much. You don't want that, and that's something that's never ending all the time. You don't want something like that to be separated from loved ones that you love never to see them again. You don't want to be family members that are Christians, you know, with them, see them again, be with them in that eternal place in heaven for all eternity, and where it's never ending, you know, just there with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, and, you know, generations that have served the Lord in your bloodline that went on to be with the Lord and to be there. What a great family reunion, you know, that would be. Amen. So don't miss out on that family reunion. That's why we're supposed to rejoice when someone that have died in the faith in the Lord have crossed over. They didn't die. They just sleeping. They don't just lay down and sleeping and going on over. We're supposed to rejoice. But the Bible says, in Ecclesiastes, I believe it says, we're supposed to be sad when a child is born into this world. That's when we're supposed to be sad and crying and mourning because they're born into this world of sin and chaos, all the stuff that is going on in this world, and destruction and hate and all that. So that's why God wants to use you. That's why Jesus paid the price for you. So how could you refuse him? Someone that loves you, someone that went through so much for you, how could you say no to him? He has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he wants nothing but the best for you. And I'm talking to you, backslider, as well. You get discouraged, saw some things in the church, so no, don't let that stop you. Your life does not consist of the abundance of that which, you know, a person has. As the Word of God says, sometimes we go by what we see. Oh, they, you know, they pimps in the church. You know, they, you know, this and that. Or because, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that. They're telling me I'm not saved. Or you feel like you're not saved or whatever. You turned away. You know, no, come back. Don't let that discourage you. Remember, your life does not consist by that. Your life does not consist. Yes, God wants to bless us and prosper us. God wants to have things, but don't let the things have. You can still enjoy all that. Yes, be a walk with the Lord and serve him. But just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. And if you just said that prayer, you're saved. Welcome to the family of God. I want to encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, spirit-filled church that believes in casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. I just believe in the whole role. I'm not talking about the church that has been compromising and, you know, just get into a place where you can be fed, get into where you can be mentored, get into a place where you can grow and be seasoned in things of God, and that you can connect with the vision of the house, and that you can do something, not sit there and not do anything, but you can be part of the vision and be a part of what God is doing. And so the Lord can remember you for what you're doing, because what you're doing, you're building your mansion in heaven. You're providing building materials for the angels to build your mansion in heaven by what you're doing here on earth with the right motives in the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you to do so. And those of you that already got discouraged in ministry, amen, shake off the dust, get back up and continue to move forward. God has called a new connection to take place in your life. God is going to bring some people in your life that appreciate you, and that's going to encourage you concerning the work of the Lord. It's going to help push you forward in ministry, because it's just too much time. You know, again, we're in the end times, and we don't have much time as we think that we have. So you want to accomplish as much as you can, and yet still here. God allow you to be here in this earth realm. And I do have an announcement before I go. I want to encourage those of you, thank God for my sister, the woman of God, and the evangelist, Colleen Smith. She is the director of this play, which is called Secrets. For those of you that like plays, love plays, look out, Tyler Perry. Amen. But we thank God for her. It's a NLBIM production, and this play is called Secrets. We know about that. Too many times we in the world, we have secrets, and some of us still in the church, we still got secrets that we're hiding. It's hard to tell the truth from a lie, a fake or a phony, when everybody seems to be keeping a secret. Isn't that not true? And this is going to be Friday, July the 25th. That's right, July the 25th. Come on, at 7:30 p.m. is going to be held at the Prairie State College in the Conference Center, which is 202 Salt Hostel in Chicago Heights. Tickets are $20. You can go online and purchase your tickets. I would encourage you. You can go to www.nolongerboundministries.net. You hear that? You can go to www.nolongerboundministries.net to purchase your ticket, or go to www.eventbrite.com. Amen. For this event, or you can call this number, area code 866-735-2051. This area code 866-735-2051. But you can purchase your ticket at the door, but it's going to cost you $25 to purchase your ticket at the door. I want to encourage you to be here at this new inspirational stage play that will make you laugh, cry, sing, and shout. So I want to encourage you, if you, like I said, if you love plays, come to this play. You know, I'm inviting you to come on out. I'm going to be there. My wife is going to be there. Ourselves. So I want to encourage you to come on out this event. Again, is directed by Evangelist Colleen Smith and Janelle Cox Bay. And the musical director is Joseph Franklin, and it's hosted by GCDC and sponsored by the Worship Free Ministries. And we got different ones that's going to be God is going to be using in this event. You know, there's going to be a guest appearance by Chicago Psalmist Valencia Lacey, her hit song, Yes, and Our God is Big. And also guest starring a rap artist, Regular D. Lee. Come and see the story unfold as the characters in this stage play come face to face with the vicious rumors, daunting secrets, and wicked lies that could destroy their families, their homes, and even their churches. And also, there's a book also coming out. I want to encourage you to be able to get and also visit call that is written by Colleen Smith. She's the author of No Longer Bound. You can go and get that book, I believe. Go to www.nolongerboundministries.net. And to purchase the new book, it's going to be released this summer. Well, actually, this summer it's been released already. And so you can go if you want to purchase that book. And it deals with the proceeds going to go to fight against human trafficking that is going on. Well, amen. I'm way over my time. I thank God for the internet listeners, landline and cell phone listeners, and those, my supporters, those that I know, men and women of God in ministry that have been tuned, listening, and supporting the broadcast, listening to Restore Paths to Dwell in. I be your host, Apostle Flowers. If you want to get in contact with me, if you need prayer, a word of encouragement, anything about any upcoming events that we may be doing, you can give us a call at area code 773-888-3356. Is your area code 773-888-3356. We return all calls in order that we should receive. So you can leave your name and your number, and someone will get back to you. So I want to encourage you to stay blessed and encouraged. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. We do have some events coming up, which I will be announcing out. That's right. I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this weekend. My wife and myself and the team, we're going to be taking the team with us. We're going to be with one of with our spiritual son and daughter at Living Word International. So if you're in the Milwaukee area, you want to just come on out and be. We're going to be having a prophetic event. We're going to be ministering along the lines concerning purpose and destiny and activating and ministering prophetically into the people of God's life concerning their purpose and destiny and, you know, clarity and speaking of the Spirit of the Lord gives us utterance. So if you need more information concerning the address, again, you can give contact us at our ministry line at area code 773-888-3356. We're going to be in Waukesha, Wisconsin. If you need any more information, we're going to be there this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. at Living Worship International with Apostle Martin, Apostle Marcus Martin, and LaShonda Martin. We're going to be with them, our sons and daughters up there in the ministry up in Wisconsin, Waukesha, in the suburb of Wisconsin. Again, if you want to come, fellowship, be there, in the event, give us a call for the address. Say, hey, I want to be part of the convert. You and I want to be there at the event. I need to be revised. I need to be renewed. So I want to be there. Give me the information to that event. We will do so. Again, I'm way past my time. Again, I thank God for you, people of God. Thank God. Again, tune in the first Monday of the month at 8 p.m. and listen to Restore a Past to Dwell In. I've been here. Awesome. Our Father, God, for you. And again, blessing you. The Lord bless you. The Lord lift up his countenance and shine his face upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord be with you. It's your law. For your enemies may rise up against you one way, they shall flee before you seven ways. And the Lord calls your enemies to be with you, to be on your footstool, and even to bless you, and that the favor of the Lord surrounds you as like a shield. God bless you. I love you, and good night.